We're holding on Tes Zayin Omer Aleph, fifth line. We learned yesterday that the machlokes in our Mishnah, in the second half of our Mishnah, between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, about whether you're allowed to burn together chametz, truma tahora, together with truma tmeya, when both of them are chametz. We said one way of understanding their machlokes is that going back to the earlier part of the Mishnah, where we have Rav Chanina Segan HaKohanim telling us about burning meat of kodshim together that became tameh, meat that was tameh from an avatoma, which therefore was a rishon, with other meat which is a shlishi. We said that the Rav Chanina could be talking about where it became tamei from mashkin, from the second batch of meat became tamei from mashkin, from liquids. Rav Meir would be saying that the whole concept of such tamei is dirabanan. Therefore, he'd be saying on a daraisa level that second piece of meat is in fact tahor, and the fact that you're still allowed to burn it together with the meat that's tamei shows therefore that when things are also dirabanan, you're allowed to burn them together. As is the case when you're burning chametz on Erev Pesach before the seventh hour, before Chatzos. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yossi holds that Tumas Mashkin is actually Daraisa, not only to be Matame other things, that liquids can be Matame other things. It's Daraisa, therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say, that's not a proof from Rav Chanina Segan HaKohanim. He's saying you can burn together two things, which are both Tamei Daraisa. You're trying to prove from that you should be able to burn it together when one of them is, or both of them in this case, are only also Dirabanan, namely because of the time of day on Erev Pesach. That doesn't follow. So we said in that connection, we had a three-way machlokes. We had Rav Meir and Rav Elazar saying that, well, they were talking about a case of Suffolk, where from the case of Suffolk, obviously we can learn to the case of Vadai, because we know the usual rule is Suffolk Daraisa Lakula, and Suffolk Daraisa, and Suffolk Dirabanan, Suffolk Daraisa Lachumra, and Suffolk Dirabanan Lakula. So the case was you have mashkin, you have liquids, where you don't know if they became tamei or not. All of the Tanoim in this Braisa agree that it itself is Tomei, if nothing else on a Dirabonon level. We're saying on a Daraisa level, they do all agree that the Truma of liquids is Daraisa, which is the point that we're going to be taking up now in the Gemara, whether everybody agrees to that. But so far, we said Rav Meir and Rav Elazar say that the mashkin themselves are tamei on a daraisa level. However, when it comes to being matame other things, there you have a three-way machlokes. Rav Meir saying that it's not matame anything else, even that to be matame anything else is only dirabanan. Therefore, suffolk of it would remain tahor. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says that even in the case of a suffolk, it's matame anything else, not only food, but even kalim, even though usually we always say that mashkim can't be matame kalim on a daraisa level, only drabanan. Rav Yehuda, at least so far, is saying that in fact it could on a daraisa level. And then Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon say that on a daraisa level, it can be matame food, but not kalim. So it's a three-way machlokas. So now we're going to analyze. Now we said we had Rav Meir, and we said V'chein hoyer Rav Elazar oimer kedvarav. Rav Elazar said the same thing as Rav Meir, and then we had Rav Yehuda, and we had Rav Yehuda, and then we had Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon. So now let's analyze what Rav Elazar holds on the subject. V'savar Rav Elazar mashkin islahu tuma ba'olam. Does Rav Elazar say that mashkim, that liquids are bechlal able to become tamei on a daraisa level? All this, we're saying that all of these three tanoim, that all of these three opinions of the tanoim altogether you have five tanoim over here, Rav Meir, Rav Elazar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon, but we have three opinions altogether. All of them seem to be agreeing that the fact that mashkim can become tamei is daraisa, and therefore that a suffolk would be a suffolk daraisa, and therefore lachumra. The only argument is, what about if they're matame other things, is that daraisa or not? And if it is it only food, or is it kalim as well? But does Rav Elazar even hold that mashkim have tuma at all? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, on a daraisa level, that is. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Elazar omer ain't tuma the mashkim kolikar. In a Braisa, Rabbi Loza says that Mashkim don't have Tumah at all. Now, he doesn't mean, on the face of it, it means Ein Lamash, Ein Tumah Lamashkim Kolikar. Mashkim are not able to become Tomei on a Daraisa level at all, he's saying. Teda, in fact, you can prove that, he says. Sharei Heir Yosef Ben Yezer Ish Tzreda. We know we have a Mishnah in Adius. That Yosef ben Yezer Ish Tzreda, we know him from Pirkei Avos as well. He was the first Nasi of the Zugos. You have the five Zugos that I mentioned in Pirkei Avos, beginning from him and Yosef ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim. The two of them, Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, lived in the time before or around the Nes Chanukah. So very much appropriate to the time of year. In fact, there's a medrash that mentions that Yosef ben Yezer was killed al Kiddush Hashem by the Greeks. Anyway, so he gave edus in front of the Chachamim al ayol kamsa dochan. Now he gave edus on three things. Actually, we're only quoting over here the first two of them. The first one is al ayol kamsa, about a certain kind of locust. Kamsa is the Aramaic word for a locust. Ayol literally means a ram or a deer. And Bapashkas, I guess it means that in a certain way, maybe the antenna of it or something resemble the horns of a deer, whatever it is, he gave edus in front of the Chachamim that creature, Dachon, is clean. In other words, it's kosher and you're allowed to eat it. And also, V'al Mashkin Beis Mitzvachaya Dachon. Also, he gave edus about the liquids of the Beis HaMitbachayim of the Beis Mikdash. Now, the Beis HaMitbachayim is the area in the Azorah where they shechted and washed the pieces, where they shechted the Korbanos, and where they washed the pieces of the Korbanos. So what liquids do you have over there? Primarily blood and water. So he gave Eidus that Dachon, that they are Tahor, they're not Mekabel Tumah. So now, what's the idea? If Tumas Mashkin is Daraisa, then the Chachamim don't have the ability to exclude anything from that, because Daraisa. But if we say the whole concept of Tumas Mashkin, that liquids themselves can become Tomei, is only Drabbanon, then fine, the same Rabbanon who made it Tomei can also exempt from it the blood and the water that are in the Beis HaMikdashim on the grounds that we don't want to make it possible, that we want to avoid the chance of Kodshim becoming Tomei. So therefore, that shows that Mashkim have no Tumah on a Daraisa level, only Drabbanon. So we see that Rabbi Lazar is clearly saying that. So how can you say that how can the previous Braisa say that he agrees with Rabbi Meir that the tumah of the mashkim themselves is Daraisa? So Hanicha LeShmuel. Now within Yosef ben Yezer's opinion, Yosef ben Yezer, remember, lived in the middle of the second Beis Mikdash. By the time you come to the time of the Amoraim, you have machlokas in within what he's saying. What did he mean when he uses the expression? And the Mishnah quotes him as saying Dachon, that these Mashki Beis Mikdashaya are clean. Dachon, by the way, is the Aramaic word for Tahor. Dachya, you have all over the place in Targum Onkelos, for example, of the Targum of the word Tahor is Dechay or Dachya or whatever. So Dachon means that they're Tahor. So Hanicha LeShmuel, we can understand it nicely according to Shmuel, to Omar, where he says, what did Yosef ben Yezer mean? He didn't mean that they're not Tomei at all. He meant Dochan Melatame Tumas Acherim. He says they're Tahor in the sense that they're not Metame other things. So the blood or the water themselves can become Tomei, like any other liquid. But they can't be Metame other things. In other words, because to be Metame other food, we would say, like we said at the top of the Amud, that Reb Meir is saying that the fact that liquids are metame other food, the fact that liquids are metame foods is only derabanan, and therefore the derabanan can exempt mashke beis mitmachaya from that. Aval tumas atzman yeshlahan, but the liquids do have their own tuma. If they become tame, they are in fact tame. Shapir. Well, then we can understand that Reb Elazar holds the same way as Reb Meir. He's saying that the liquids themselves are able to become tame, but to be matame on a daraisa level, but to be matame, other things that to be able to be matame, other food is only derabanan. So fine, he's saying exactly the same as Reb Meir. But Rav says, no, when Yosef ben Yezer says that the Mashke Beis Mitbachaya Dachon, he means completely Tahor. In other words, they don't even have Tumas Atzmon. My Ikalamemar. So then what are you going to say? You have one Braisa where it says Rav Elazar, it says like Rav Meir, which should mean, therefore, that they have Tumas Atzmon. And then you have another Braisa where Rav Elazar is clearly saying they don't have Tumas Atzmon. So what, or according to Rav, at least, that's what Rav Elazar means. So how do you reconcile it? The answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Achoda. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, maybe you don't have to say that when we say in the first Braisa that Rav Elazar is agreeing with Rav Meir, maybe it doesn't mean completely. Maybe it means he's agreeing with him on one thing. He's talking about the Latame Acherim, that unlike the other Tanoim, unlike Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, who are saying that various aspects of Mashkin being the Tame, other things is Daraisa. Rav Meir is saying that's the Rabbanon. On that, Rav Elazar is agreeing with him. But he's going beyond Rav Meir and according to Rav, and saying that even Tumas Atzmon is only the Rabbanon. So that would be a fourth opinion then. We'd have Rav Elazar saying, according to Rav, that Mashkim are not able to become Tame at all. And they're only on a Daraisa level. And therefore, the whole concept of them being Tame and the whole concept of them being Mitame are both the Rabbanon. Then you'd have Rav Meir saying that no, to become Tame themselves is Daraisa, to be Mitame other things is Derabanan. And then you'd have Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon saying that various aspects of it being Mitame other things is also Daraisa.
So why can't you say that he changed his opinion?
If we have to, but we'd rather not have to say that he changed his opinion, because after all, we have Braisis that quote his opinion. We have V'chein Hoyer Rav Elazar Oymer Kedvarav, and we have Rav Elazar saying Ein Tumah L'Mashkin Kolikar. We would like to assume that those represent the same opinion rather than having to say he changed his mind. So that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok says. We can reconcile by saying that the first Braisa means only that he agrees with Rav Meir in the one detail where he's arguing with the other Chachamim. But in fact, he represents a different opinion, different than all the five of them, regarding the Tumas Mashkin themselves. So the question is, V'halki Dvarov Kamar, what do you mean? It says that he said, like the words in the plural of Rav Meir, implying that he agrees with both parts of what Rav Meir says. Dinifishi, implying, in other words, that there are a lot, that there's more than one. V'oid v'ha v'chein katani. And another question is that he uses the expression v'chein ha'yer Rav Elazar Oymer kedvarav. If it just meant that he agrees with him on one thing, why use the word v'chein, which implies that he agrees with him completely? Okay, so the Gemara says kasha. You're right, that's a kasha. It's not an absolute stira to Rav, but nevertheless, it is a kasha on Rav's understanding of Rav Elazar's opinion. Okay. Gufa. So now, getting back to... Gufa, getting back to, we just said, Rav Amadochan Mamash. By the way, before we get into that, actually, there's an interesting point that this we're saying about these Mashke based Mechaya are not Makabal Tuma. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain that. Now, we started saying, Rashi explained over here, that the Mashke based Mechaya that we're talking about are, for example, blood or water. But on the surface of it, it could include other liquids that are used in the Beis Mikdash as well, one of the Shiva Mashkin being oil. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out and brings up a question that he says it's interesting. He says nobody ever came up with this question before. According to Rav, what's the whole need for the Nes Hanukkah? You have all the oil was made tome by the Greeks, and they found Pachshem and Tahar. According to Rav over here, that according to Rav was saying, Yossi ben Yezer is telling us the mashkim, the liquids used in the Beis Mikdash, have no tumah, not of their own, and not to be metame other things, even on the Darabanan level. So how are the Greeks being metame all the oil in the first place? So he goes into a long discussion of it that ultimately he says that the Gemara over here ends up saying that Mashke Basement Machaya primarily refers to the blood and the water, and maybe to a certain extent the wine, since it's also poured on the Mizbeach, not necessarily would it refer to the oil. But there's different other answers that Achronim give. A couple of interesting ones are, there's a concept the Gemara mentions in a few places in Shas called Uvoba Paritzim V'Chivalua. Once Goyim enter the Beis Mikdash and take it over, then everything in it becomes Cholin. It's Negel Halacha, for example, that this way, if you find later on gold and silver coins, even ones of the type that they used in the treasury of the Beis Mikdash, you don't have to be concerned that it's mum and hektish, you're not allowed to have hanah from it. Anyway, so therefore, one aspect of it would be, therefore, once the Greeks took over the Beis Mikdash, then everything in it became kolin, then we don't have the rule of mashke beis but b'chai. That's a special rule for the Beis Mikdash. And now, in effect, it's not the Beis Mikdash anymore. It doesn't have the kedusha of it. So therefore, so that would be why they had to find the Pachach HaShemen. Another answer is that maybe they were concerned. It's not just a matter of the goyim touching the oil. They may have mixed in Tamei oil with the Tahor oil, and only when they found one jug that was sealed, so obviously nobody had put anything into it, then they were able to use that. And there's a number of other answers. They could have worshipped it, maybe. Okay, yeah, I guess if they took it over, then maybe it does belong to them. Could be. Okay. Fine. Gufa. So now getting back to what we said, Rav Amadochan Mamash, Shmuel Amadochan Melatame Tumas Achei. Rav Amadochan Mamash. Rav says again, going back to what Yosef and Yezer had said, remember Yosef and Yezer lived 300-400 years before Rav. So by now you have enough time for Machlokas to have developed in what he meant. Al-Derech, you know, like we have nowadays, you know, you look in something, let's say that the Shach or the Taz or the Magen Avraham wrote, and you'll have different ways of understanding it. So here you have the same kind of thing. So Rav Amadochan Mamash, that when Yosef and Yezer said Dochan, that these Mashke basement b'chai are Tahor, he meant fully Tahor on a Daraisa and Rabbanon level, not as far as having Tumas Atzman, and both as far as having Tumas Atzman and as far as being Matame other things, nothing doing. Ushmulam a Dochan of Matame Tumas Acherim. Shmuel says no, it means that they're Tahor in the sense they can't be Matame other things. Which, according to Shmuel, therefore, when Rabbi Elazar said, Ein lahem tumah kol ikar, he doesn't mean actually that they have no tumah at all. What it is Tosfos explains, Rabbi Elazar was referring to what Rabbi Shimon had said, that to be metame, that certain, to a certain extent, the fact that it's metame other things is daraisa. And Rabbi Elazar was telling him that no, Ein lahem tumah kol ikar, not daraisa and not drabonon. But as far as being metame other things, not as far as them themselves being tame, Shmuel would say that Yosef and Yezer meant, Aval tumas atzman yesh lahen. They have their own intrinsic tumor, because the Gemara is going to say, according to him, the fact that Mashkin can become Tomei is something Daraisa. And if it's something Daraisa, the Chachamim don't have the ability to exempt Mashkin basement B'chaya from it. So, let's analyze that. Rav Amadochan Mamash, Kasavar, because Rav holds Tumas Mashkin Dirabanan, the whole concept that liquids can become Tomei is Dirabanan, as we're going to ask soon on the face of it, we have Psukim that say that it is Tomei Dorai. So how would Rav understand those Psukim? We'll get to that soon. But he says that the whole concept that liquids become Tomei is only Dirabanan. V'chi gozru Rabanan v'mashkin d'alma. So the Chachamim made the Gzera only when it comes to regular liquids. Over Mashkin, basement b'chayim, like gozru, they didn't make the Gzera when it comes to the Mashkin of the basement b'chayim. Because again, we don't want Kodshim to become Tomei unnecessarily. Ushmuel Amar Dochan Melatame Tumas Acherim. Shmuel says that it means that they're Tahor in the sense they can't be Metame other things. Daraisa or Drabanan. Aval Tumas Atzman Yesh Lahen, but they have intrinsic Tumah, meaning Kasava Tumas Mashkin Atzman Daraisa. He holds the fact that liquids themselves can become Tomei is something on a Daraisa level. Latame Achenim Dirabanan, only what's Dirabanan is that liquids are able to be Matame other things. V'chigaz Dirabanan, B'mashkin Da'alma. So again, he would say the Chum made that Gzera only as far as regular liquids. B'mashkin, basement B'chaya, like Gozer, they didn't want to make that Gzera by the Mashkin basement B'chaya for the same reason. So the argument basically boils down to, is Tumas Mashkin Daraisa or Drabanan? Now, that's different than the Machlokas we had Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, we said before. There, the Machlokas is whether the fact that they're Matame other food is Daraisa or Drabanan, where Rav Meir said it's Drabanan and Rav Yossi argued it's Daraisa. But here we're talking about Tumas Atzman, can liquids themselves become Tame? We were saying Rav holds they can't, and Shmuel holds they could, on a Daraisa level, that is. Amalei Rav Huna Bachinina Levrei. So Rav Huna Bachinina tells his son, Ki Ailas Lekamei De Rapapa, when you go to visit Rapapa or to learn in his yeshiva, Rami Le, point out to him the following contradiction. Mi Amar Shmuel Dochan Levatame Tumas Acherim Aval Tumas Atzman Yesh Lahen. How can Shmuel be saying that liquids are not metame other food on a daraisa level, but they could be metame. They have their own intrinsic tumah. What do you mean? Kori kan v'habosar sheyigah b'chol tomei lo ye'ochol. The pasuk clearly says that any meat of kodshim that touches anything tomei cannot be eaten. If you're telling me, Melech went to Rav, that the liquids are not tomei at all, then fine. Now, there's no question. It's not b'chol tomei. But if you're telling me, Shmuel, that the liquids themselves are tomei on a daraisa level, the pasuk is clearly saying that if meat of kodshim touches something tomei, then you can't eat it. Now, the question could have been asked on Remeir as well, because Remeir is also saying that the concept of it being metame other things is only Dirabanan. But we could answer that maybe Remeir is only talking about Chulin, maybe he says Kodshim would have a different rule, but Shmuel over here is clearly talking about Mashke basement Bechaya, which is what we're dealing with Kodshim over here. So how do you understand that? The answer is Amud of Shisha Bredin of Idi, Midi Dahavi Arivi Bakodesh. What's the problem? The same way as you have if meat of Kodshim touches food, touches other meat, which is a Ravi, nothing happens because there's no such thing as a Hamishi Bakodesh. So you see, even though you have something which is Tomei and it touches the meat, it's not Metame. The same thing over here. You have something which is Tomei, but it's not able to be Metame. Maskiflor of Ashi, but Rav Ashi says, I don't like that. Rav Ashi says, that's no good. Ravi Bakodesh loy ikri tomei. The difference is that Ravi Bakodesh is bechlal not called tomei. As we learned at the beginning of the sugya a couple of days ago, we draw a distinction between tomei and posel. If it's the lowest degree of tumah and it's not able to be metame anything else, we don't call it tomei, we call it posel. So Ravi Bakodesh is posel. Here, hai ikri tomei. Here, the liquid itself would be called tomei. So the Gemara says, you're right, kasha. You're right, that's a kasha on Shmuel. Again, it's not a complete stira to him, especially because Shmuel could answer, in effect, if mashkim are not able to be metame anything else on a daraisa level, then in effect, any mashkim are always posel. They're never tomei in that sense of being able to be metame other things on a daraisa level. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. Now again, Rav is saying that, now let's go back to Rav. He's saying that mashkim can't become tomei at all. But what do you mean? The Pasuk says, b'chol mashke asher yishasa b'chol kli yitma. Any liquid that can be drunk that's in any keli, yitma, becomes tomei. Now, we're going to discuss, now the Gemara is going to discuss later that we have a drosha where we can, according to the Tanoim, who say that Tumas Mash, that Mashkim are able to be Metame other things on a Daraisa level, they learn from this Pasuk, not only Yitma, it becomes Tame, but they read the word as if it said Yitame, it can be Metame other things. But fine, even if we don't do that drosha, Rashi says, the fact is the Pasuk is saying Yitma, it becomes Tame, so how is Rav going to understand that Pasuk? It clearly says that liquids that are in a keli can become tomei. So what are you telling me that tumas mashkin is only dirabanan? The answer is my yitma hichshir. The answer is Rav would understand that the pasuk is telling you that any liquid that's in the container, yitma, is able to make something else be mukshal akabal tuma. In other words, Rashi says, Rav would take the end of that pasuk and combine it with the beginning of the next pasuk. You have the pasuk says, "V'chol mashka asher mikol ha'oichal asher ye'ochol." The pasuk says, "Any food that can be eaten, asher yavay olav mayim, that water falls on it, yitma can become tamei." V'chol mashka asher yishasa b'chol kli, any liquid that can be drunk that's in any keli, yitma becomes tamei. Then the next pasuk continues, "Mikol ha'oichal." It's not sukkim back to back, but rather we're taking the second half of the pasuk and making it and putting it kind of before the first half of the pasuk. So we're saying that when the pasuk is saying that liquids yitma, it doesn't mean that they themselves become tamei. What is it yitma? What it mentioned in the first half of the pasuk? Mikol ha'oichal asher ye'ochal. Any food that it touches, which this liquid, any food that touches tumah, which this liquid previously touched. Because the liquid, everybody agrees that liquid, the shiva mashkim, can be mashu things, the kabal tumah. But Rav is just saying that it itself can't become tamei, so he says the yitma is not referring, the liquid itself doesn't become tamei, but it's yitma, it makes the food that it touches susceptible to becoming tamei. That you have, actually. It's interesting. Now that you mention that, it's an interesting point, actually. You have a couple of Mishnayos and Kalim, I think, and an Aulis that mention such concepts. Some of them are only Dirabanan, but fine. But you do have certain concepts where something is able to make something else Tomei, even though Mitamecha lo Timuni vata Timesani. Like, you have what made you Tomei wouldn't have been able to make me Tomei. But now it made you. But now you were able to make me tome. Like you have, like, as if like the kalim are personified. You have a couple of cases like that in Mishnayos over there. But anyway, the point is no, because we're not saying the liquid makes the other thing tome. We're saying the liquid makes the other thing susceptible to becoming tome. It's now mukshu lekabel tuma, and now if a sheretz or what have you touches it, now it's going to become tome. Once it got wet with mayim. So the mayim is not making, or the whatever liquid, is not making it actually tame. It's making it that now it's able to become tame. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, hechsher, what do you mean? To say that liquid is machshel kabel tuma, mereshet dekra shametla. You can see that from the first half of the pasuk. Because it said, mikola oichel asher yachol, begoymer asher yavoy olav mayim yitma. So it already says that if water falls on it, it's tame. So what would the second half of the pasuk be adding according to Rav? The answer is chad betlushin v'chad b'mechuborin. You could say one half of the pasuk is talking about where the water is detached from the ground. And for example, it's in a keli that it's able to be matame. That they're not matame. That's able to be machshir the food lekabel tuma. And the other one would be letting us know that also b'mechuborin. That also even when the water is still in the ground. For example, let's say fruit. Let's say for example you take fruit and dip it into a pond or a lake or whatever. That it's also machshir lekabel tuma. Now you have the rules over there. It has to be l'rotzon, and now you have all the rules that are in the Masechta Machshirin. Fine, but the basic concept applies that depending that if you have it l'rotzon and you dip the fruit into a lake, then yes, it will be mukshel lekabel tuma. You wouldn't have known that otherwise. And in fact, it's tzrichi. And in fact, you need both psukim. You can't say if you had one, you could learn the other one from it, because the iyash me'inin b'tlushin. If we said if the Torah had only mentioned it once. And we said that it applies only to liquids that are detached, that are in a keli, for example. You would say, you know why those are machshir lekabel tuma? Mishum da'achshavinu. The very fact that you put them in a keli shows that you consider them choshu. Ava mechuborin eim aloi. But if you just have a lake over there, you didn't show that this water has any chashivos. Why should it be machshir lekabel tuma? Therefore, we need a pasuk to tell us that. The e tonem mechuborin. On the other hand, if it only mentioned, for example, a lake, you would say, you know why that's machshel lekabel tuma? Mishum dekaimi b'duchtayu, because it's still in its original place in the lake. Therefore, chashivi, that gives it a certain chashivos that it's part of a bigger body of water. Avotlushin emaloi, but you could argue if the water is detached and placed in a keli, maybe not tzrichi. Therefore, we would need both halves of the pasuk, one to tell us tlushin, one to tell us mechuborin. Therefore, Rav can say there's still nothing in the pasuk that tells us that liquids themselves are able to become tamei on a deraisa level again. I mean, there's an argument you could make, of course, as soon as you take the thing out of the water, then the water on it is detached. It is detached from the ground. Let's say you dip a food in a lake. As soon as you take it out, the water on it. So in fact, Tosfos mentions over here a concept that. If as long as the fruit is in the water, actually, Tosfos says, if not yet, mukshel lekabel tuma. When does it become mukshel lekabel tuma? Only when you take it out of the water. So in that case, then, Tosfos doesn't expand on the idea that in that case the water is talush, but still it was mechuber before, and you could argue, therefore, maybe it has a certain chashivos, the fruit touched it while it was mechuber. So maybe therefore that would make a difference. That concept, by the way, that Tosfos is mentioning, that the fruit only becomes mukshel lekabel tuma when you take it out of the water, there's a similar thing. It says, for example, when a person tovels, I think the Rogachover talks about it and others talk about it. And I think the Rebbe brings it in Sichas as well, although I'm not sure, that on the same token, for example, when a person tovels, when do they actually become tohar? Only when they come out of the water. That when they're in the water, that's the preparatory thing. They need to become tahor, but they actually only become tahor or become a yid or whatever when they actually emerge from the water. Same as Tosfos is saying over here about the fruit being mukshir only when it comes out of the water. That's something else. No, it's not really the opposite. There you have the case that you're talking about from the Mishnayos for Yahrzeit is there you have the case, because the problem is the mikveh there is exactly 40 saw. So as soon as the person comes out of the water, then some of the water is stuck to his body. Now there's not 40 saw in the mikveh. That's why we're talking about, is the mikveh still kosher for the next person? So Rabbi Yehuda is saying if his feet are still touching the water, then fine, the water on his body can be considered connected to the water of the mikveh, and therefore it's good, and the Chachamim disagree. We're talking about the question, when does the person himself become tahor while he's in the mikveh, or the moment he comes out of the mikveh? That's something else, yeah. Okay. Fine, so the point is, that question doesn't... One second. Let me just finish the sentence I was saying. So that pasuk therefore doesn't contradict Rav, because even though on the surface the pasuk is talking about the fact that liquids can become tamei, Rav can understand that actually the pasuk is reinforcing the fact, the second half of the pasuk is reinforcing the fact that liquids are machshir lekabel tumah. Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned the example of a mikveh. The water that is in a mikveh is metaher. Now, something that's metaher by itself, okay, then needs to be 40 sars, but that's set aside. You would have a hard time saying that it can be metame.
No. If you have a mikveh less than 40 sars, then... Okay, first of all, like this. Again, we're not talking about over here Dirabbanan. Dirabbanan, everybody agrees that liquids can be metame, can become tame and become metame. We're talking about a daraisa level. Now, if a person dips in a mikveh, if the mikveh is 40 saw, then yes, the water itself cannot become tame. Otherwise, how could a tame person ever tovel? A person who would tame person would tovel in a tohu mikveh, he'd make it tame. No, once you have 40 saw, once you have a kosher mikveh, automatically it can't become tame. But when you have less than 40 saw, then you have the question. Now, first of all, the tame himself has not become tahor. Less than 40 saw, he can't dip in. The question would be, did that water itself become tame from him going into it? But in any case, what I was just saying is something else, nothing to do with whether the water itself is tame or tahor. Again, according to Rav, we're saying the water itself never becomes tame on a daraisa level, because only oichlin can become tame on a daraisa level, not mashkim, to him, which is why the Chachamim are able to exempt Mashke Beis Mitbachaya from it. And in addition, a side point that based on the Tosfos over here, that only when the person or the Keli or whatever comes out of the water, only then is it Tahor, not while it's in the water yet. That's just the being in the water is a necessary prerequisite for it becoming Tahor, but it's only becoming Tahor when you actually take it out.
Is there any other liquid when you put it at a volume of 40 seer that can metaher somebody?
No, there's no other liquid that if you have 40 saw that can be metaher. That's, you have the Mishnayos there. So you have in the Mishnayos in Yesh Malon Samikva that we learned through a Yortzeit and the 11 months or whatever, we have exactly that point, that you have Meperus and other such things that they can't even be mashlam a mikvah. You can't even complete a mikvah of 40 saw with them. The maximum you can have is Nathan Sov and Nathal Sov. You pour a saw of them into a mikvah, and then you take out a saw of mixture of water and Meperus, then fine, the mikveh will still be kosher, but you can't make a mikveh out of anything else other than water now. Okay, let's go on. Okay, Toshma, another pasuk says, Ach mayin ubor mikveh mayin yetar. A pasuk says, actually, now here, let's talk about this point, that the pasuk is saying that a mayon, a spring, or a bur, a pit full of water, since they're attached to the ground, they're not able to be makabel tumah. They're not able to be makabel tumah. Mikveh mayim, they're a gathering of water, yiyah tahor. They are tahor. So the implication seems to be only because they're attached to the ground are they not able to become tumah. So actually, then I said it wrongly a minute ago. When I said if there's less than 40 saw, it'll become tumah when the person tovels in it. No, actually it won't, because it still is in the ground. The fact that it's in the ground saves it from becoming tummy. But the implication is only because of that. If it was tlushin, if it was detached from the ground, then, for example, if it was in a bathtub, let's say, then a person would become tummy. Then it would become tummy from a tummy person touching it or dipping into it or whatever. Above ground. Now, according to Rav, why? According to Rav, mashkim don't become tummy on a daraisa level. The answer is my yitahar mitum asai. It doesn't mean yitahar, the water remains tahar. The water remains tahar regardless, according to Rav, because water can never become tame. What it means is yitahar, it's able to be matahar, the person who dips into it, as long as it's the size of a mikveh. My yitahar mitum asai, it means if a person is tame or a keli is tame, and you dip it in such water, then it becomes tahar. It's not talking about the tahara of the water itself. The water itself is going to be tahar, whether it's in the ground or whether it's in a keli, according to Rav. Okay. The question is now, What about now, when it comes to other liquids, obviously they have to be machshir only when they're tolush, because by definition, other liquids are going to be tolush. Wine or oil or all the other ones, they come from a fruit, or they come from blood, comes from an animal or whatever, and of course it's tolush. Wine is, yeah, but even if it's on the ground, it was tolush from the grapes. You then put it into a gas in the ground, but it's tolush from its original place. The question, though, is about water. You're telling me that water is machshir lekabel tumah once it's detached from the ground. And you're telling me, according to Rav, that's in fact what the pasuk we quoted just before explains us, is that water is machshir whether it's in the ground or whether it's not in the ground. So even though we're talking about, again, a mikveh can be matahar, a person who's tameh, but that same mikveh, if you were to dip fruit in it, for example, the fruit would be mukshar lekabel tumah. It's not yet tameh, but it's able to become tameh. But is that so? That how could it be that water that's tolush is machshir? Let's go back to mashkin beis mitbachaya. These liquids that are used in the beis mitbachayim or the beis mikdash, including water, loy dayan shein dochon. Not only they're tahor, as in they're not able to become tamei, like Rav had said, ela shein machshir, and they're not even able to be machshir the kabel tuma. They're not even able to be machshir the meat that they touch to be makabel tuma. So therefore, if that concept, if the fact that they're machshir food is daraisa, then the chacham couldn't exempt mashke beis mitbachaya from it. So it has to be, it's derabanan. So what are you telling me that water that's tolush is daraisa, and saying according to Rav, that's how we understand the pasuk? The answer is tirgama al dam. The answer is when Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is saying that it's not machshir, he doesn't mean all the mashke beis mitbachaya. Specifically, he means the blood. And the blood, you have a limud from a pasuk, which therefore is also daraisa, that blood of kodshim is not machshir lekabel tumah. So in other words, when he says some mashke beis mitbachaya, is the blood of the kodshim themselves. That is not machshir to me. But other liquids of beis mitbachaya, even if we say that Yosi ben Ye'ezer meant dochon, that it means they're not tameh and they're not metameh, like Rav says, nevertheless though, they can be machshir. However, the blood is less than that. It can't even be machshir. And that, what? Dochan means tahar. Dochan means tahar. And again, we had Rav and Shmuel arguing whether it means that they're not metame other things, or even that they themselves are tahar. So now Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is telling us another angle on that. You have, within Mashke Beis Mitbachaya themselves, you have to distinguish blood from the other liquids. Blood of Kodshim, you actually have a limud that it's not even Machshir lekabel tumah. So now you have like this. So it's not machshir lekabel tumah. The other liquids, including the water, would. That everybody agrees to. Then you get into the question: what about this water and this blood? Are they able to become tameh on their own? And it's only on a daraisa level, and it's only and only that they're not metameh other things. That would be what Shmuel says, or Rav says that it means they're not tameh themselves either. But to be machshir the kabel tumah, the water everybody agrees would, the blood now Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is telling us not, but not because it would be daraisa and the chachamim exempted it. They don't have the ability to do that, but because daraisa, it's not machshir the kabel tumah. How do we know that blood of kodshim is not machshir lekabel tumah? As the pasuk says, you should spill, when you shecht an animal, you should spill the blood of it on the ground like water, implying dam shenishbach kamayim machshir, only blood which is poured on the ground like water is machshir lekabel tumah, because then it's like water. But if it's not poured on the ground, if it's caught in a mizrak and sprinkled or poured or whatever on the mizbeach, ain't a machshir. So therefore, there you go then. So blood of kodshim is not machshir at all. And therefore, so that's what Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina means when he so again, when we say mashke beis mitbachaya are not machshir, he doesn't mean all the mashke beis mitbachaya, he means blood. So we have, again, like this. We have, of the mashke beis mitbachaya, blood we're best off with. It's not machshir. According to Rav, it's not even tamei by itself, and it's not matame anything else. According to Shmuel, it itself could become tamei, but it can't be machshir, and it can't be matame. Remember, we have three different things to talk about over here. Machshir, tamei, and matame. So blood, we're saying, According to Rav, is not any of those three things. According to Shmuel, it's only Tomei, but not any of the other two. Water, we're saying, can be Machshir, and it can be Machshir. According to Rav, nothing else. According to Shmuel, it can also become Tomei. To be Metame, anything else, that's what we're saying, that not. We're talking even the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did not impose, even though usually Mashkim on Metame food, the Chachamim were not going to that on Mashkim. They spent Bechaya because they didn't want that the Kodshim should become Tomei unnecessarily. Fine. Maskiflar Rav Shmuel Ba'ami, but Rav Shmuel Ba'ami says, what do you mean? What do you mean that any blood that's poured out like water, meaning that's not put on the mizbeach, is not mashal lekabel tumah? Hare dama tamsis. What about you have the blood that oozes out after you have the blood that the nefesh yotzeboy, the big gush of blood that you get by the shechita. After that, you have dama tamsis, the rest of the blood that trickles out. That denishbach hamayim, that can be poured out like water because you can't sprinkle it on the mizbeach. The enei machshir, and yet we're saying that such blood is not machshir. So you see, it's not an absolute rule that any blood that it depends whether it's nishbach hamayim or not. Amalei Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira answers him. Hanach l'damatamsis. Set aside your question about damatamsis. Da'afilu b'chulun nami le'machshir. Because in fact, damatamsis wouldn't even be machshir even when it comes to chulun. Forget about kodshim. If you have damatamsis lands on food, it's not machshir. Period. And how do we know that? Kibla minema Rav Shmuel Ba'ami. In fact, Rav Shmuel Ba'ami accepted that explanation of Rav Zeira. And the reason is, the Amar Achmana, because the Pasuk says, Chazak levilti achol adam, be strong not to eat the blood. Rashi on the Pasuk, by the way, mentions two possibilities why we have to say that. One is because, in fact, the Jewish people at that time were addicted to eating blood. They used to do it in Mitzrayim, I guess. And therefore, the Torah has to stress that you're not allowed to do it. The other possibility, Rashi says over there, is adrab, blood is something that most people are naturally disgusted by, and yet the Torah is reinforcing over and over and telling you one and another time not to do it in order to show what a schar you get even for a mitzvah that's easy, how much more so for mitzvahs that are hard. Whatever the case, the point is that so be strong not to eat the blood, ki hadam hu hanafesh, because the pasuk says, because the blood is the soul. So we learn from that, dam shan nefesh yotze b'kodoy dam, only if the nefesh comes out with it, is it called dam. Dam shan nefesh yotze b'kodoy dam. Here the nefesh is not going out with it, because it's only dam atamtis, it's only the blood that trickles out afterwards. So therefore, that's not called dam, and therefore, if it's not dam, then it's not machshel lekabel tumah. Which, by the way, would mean, therefore, that on a daraisa level, you might even be, well, you wouldn't say that on a daraisa level you're allowed to eat it. What you would say, it's not chayv kores. At most, it would be an isu lav to eat it. This, for example, that we check eggs for blood spots, technically, I'll pidin, there are certain cases you would actually be allowed to eat them, and certain other cases where you'd just be able to throw away the blood, let's say this, that we always just throw away the egg as a homra. That's it. Anyway, the point is that, yeah, so far, where are we up to? So far, we're saying like this. Again, within Mashke Basement Bechaya, you have, for any particular liquid, you can talk about three things, what it can do and what it can't do. You can talk about whether it can be Mashal Kabel Tumah, whether it itself is Tomei, and whether it's able to be Metame other things. So what we're saying is, so far, we're saying like this. Damashchita is not Machshir. Dam of Shchita of Kodshim, specifically, not of Chulin, but Shchita of Kodshim, is not Machshir, like Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina says. According to Rav, it's not Tomei, and it's not Metame. According to Shmuel, it is Tomei, but it's not Metame. Dama Tamtis, we would say, is also not Machshir, and that's true of both Kodshim and Chulin. According to Rav, again, it is Mashke Basement Bechaya, therefore it's not Tomei or Metame. According to Shmuel, again, it would be Tomei, but not Metame. Then you have the water in Basement Bechayim, where that is Machshir. Everybody would say it's Machshir. Rav would say it's not Tomei and it's not Metame. Shmuel would say it is Tomei, but it's not Metame. Yeah. We did say that all this is going to be a bit complicated, yeah. Okay, so far we still don't have any proof against Rav or against Shmuel. So far, everything that we've said can work out according to both of them. Next, the Gemara says, Toshma. A Braisa says, Damshin Nitma. If the blood of a korban became Tomei, the Zorkoi, and you still sprinkled on a Mazdeach anyway, Beshoigig Hurtza, Bemezid Loi Hurtza, if you did it, if it was Beshoigig, then a hurtza, then the korban is acceptable. The mezid loy hurtza. You have a machloikas later on in our mesechta. What it means b'shoigig and b'mezid? Does it mean that it became tomei b'shoigig versus b'mezid, or does it mean that it was sprinkled on the mizbeach b'shoigig or b'mezid? In other words, is it that the actual tuma of it itself was that somebody was matame at b'mezid versus became tomei b'shoigig, or is it even once it became tomei, or you sprinkled it on the mizbeach b'shoigig that you forgot that it's tomei versus versus Bemezid. It's Machlokas later on in Amos Sechta. Rashi brings it over here. Anyway, so you see, therefore, we're talking about blood that became Tomei. If you're telling you, so what are you telling me, Rav, that the blood of Kodshim can't become Tomei? The answer is Midrabanan. You would have to say that we're talking about whether it's, we're talking about that it's Tomei Midrabanan. So in other words, the Tana of this Braisa would be disagreeing with Yosi ben Yezer. Yosi ben Yezer had said he gave Eidos that Mashke basement Bachaya or Tahar. The Tana of this Braisa, fine, he's a Tana. Yosi ben Yezer is also a Tana. He's able to agree with him. He's able to disagree with him. So he holds that they are in fact able to become Tummy. So therefore, Udaloi could have Yosi ben Yezer ish Tzreda. So the Tana of our Mishnah is disagreeing with Yosi ben Yezer ish Tzreda and saying that the blood could become Tummy. But all this time, we were talking within Yosef and Yezer's opinion whether it can become Tomei or not. And Rav is saying that not. No, so that's the thing. So what we're saying is, even though the whole Tumah of it is Dirabbanan, even though the whole Tumah of it is Dirabbanan, nevertheless, we would say, since it was Bemezid, since it became Tomei Bemezid, it was sprinkled on his death, Bemezid, as the case may be, the Chachamim are saying that this Korban is not acceptable. Yeah. In fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have even said that this Braisa holds according to the opinion that we said before. We had Tanoim who said that Tumas Mashkin, we had before, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda and Reb Yosi and the rest of them who said that the Tumah of Mashkin themselves is Daraisa, which obviously, therefore, we haven't been dealing with them because we've been dealing with the opinion of Yosi ben Yezer that obviously they can't be Tumah Daraisa, otherwise Mashkin basement Bechaya couldn't be exempt. The Braisa, therefore, the Gemara could have said that all or Braisa just now is talking that the blood became Tomei on a Daraisa level, and therefore if it was Bemezid, the korban is not acceptable. But the Gemara preferred to explain that it's Dirabbanan in order to make that the Braisa could still work according to Rav. But in fact, the Gemara could have said that the Braisa is according to the Meir or the Yehuda or the rest of them, and that the blood is actually becoming Tomei on a Daraisa level. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Almahat Tzitz Meratze. For what kind of cases is the Tzitz of the Kohen Gadol Meratze makes a Korban acceptable? Now, we know that it does. The Pasuk tells us that the Tzitz should be on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, L'rotzem Lahem Lifnei Hashem. So the question is, in other words, the Pasuk says, V'nosa Aaron es Avoina Kodshim, that Aaron will bear on himself the guilt of the Kodshim. So it means that there's a certain kind of case where a korban would be possible, but the tzitz makes it kosher. So what is that case? So it is, ala dom v'ala bosav ala chelev, regarding the blood or the meat or the chelev of a korban, shenitma, where they became tomei, bein v'shogig, bein v'mezid, bein v'onis, bein v'rotzen, in any of these cases. Rashi points out, by the way, that v'mezid and v'rotzen are basically the same thing. Bemezid means that it was done, Berotzen. The reason why we're using all four expressions is because the opposite of mezid is shoigig, that you didn't know what the halacha, and the opposite of mezid, the opposite of rotzen, where you wanted, is ones, where it was against your, will. You were forced, it happened without your ability to prevent it, basically. Anyway, so we're saying, if any of those things become Tomei, bein b'yochid, bein b'tzibur, whether this happened by a korban yochid or a korban tzibur. Now, the point is that the tzitz is meratza. Now, the point is, Rashi says it doesn't mean if the meat became Tomei that you're going to be able to eat the meat. That not, because the fact is it became Tomei. What the tzitz accomplishes is like this. Later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the dinim of the Korban Pesach, we're going to talk about Rabbi Yeshua holds that Rabbi Yeshua holds if the meat of a korban becomes any korban becomes tameh before the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, then he says you can't sprinkle the blood anymore. Im ein boser ein dam. So we would say that tzitz, on the other hand, makes it as if the meat was still tar to the extent that you can sprinkle the blood of the korban and make the blood and make the korban kosher. You won't be able to eat the korban afterwards, but at least you'll be able to sprinkle the blood. Even though the meat actually became tameh, the tzitz allows us to pretend as though it didn't become tameh and therefore to sprinkle the blood. In fact, Tosfos points out that there is even Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua on that and says you could sprinkle the blood anyway, even according to him, the tzitz can accomplish something where the meat where the meat became tameh, namely that, for example, that this korban has the ability to become pigul, and that you were able to spread that. In other words, because without that, if we said you can't sprinkle the blood, then the korban would never be able to become pigul. So like this, the fact that you're able to sprinkle the blood allows the korban to potentially become pigul if the kohen has machsheves man. Also, for example, that you're able to sprinkle the blood, and therefore that the meat is not going to, that was kodshim kalim, is not going to be subject to me'ila anymore. Which also you can only have that when the blood is sprinkled. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that tzitz is accomplishing something when the meat became tamei. Anyway, the point is that the Braisa had said that the Braisa had used the expression al hadam, that when the blood becomes tamei. Now again, according to Rav's understanding of Yosi ben Yezer, the blood can't become tameh in the first place. So what are you talking about if the blood became tameh? And again, the answer is midrabbanan. We'd be saying again that we're talking about where the blood became tameh. Midrabbanan, and again with the like Yosef ben Yezer Shreda, again this braisa would not be like Yosef ben Yezer. He says, according to Rav, that the blood of the korbanos, that all the mashke basement bachaya, are not able to become tameh at all, and these chachamim disagree with that. Okay, next Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. Another braisa says about this matter of the tzitz. The pasuk says, "V'nosa Aaron as avona kadoshim," that Aaron should bear the guilt of the kodshim, meaning, in other words, that the tzitz takes away a certain psul of the kodshim and makes the kodshim acceptable where otherwise they wouldn't have been. So we have to figure out v'chi eza oven who knows it. Which thing that went wrong with the kodshim would we say that the tzitz takes away? Im oven pigul. Are you talking about the case of pigul? Now here, Rashi gives two explanations. One is that pigul over here doesn't mean what we usually think of as pigul. We always know throughout Chas that there's machsheves zman and machsheves mokim. The kohen can have a machshava doing one of the avoidas to do that he's going to do this avoida, or that he's going to eat the meat, that he's going to sprinkle the blood, or eat the meat, or burn on the mizbeach, or whatever, chutz l'zmanai, beyond the time that he's allowed to, meaning the next day, that's pigul, versus chutz l'mekoymai, where he has in mind to eat it outside the Azara, or outside Yerushalayim, as the case may be, that we call posel. The fact is, though, that the posel, the fact is, Rashi brings at some length over here, based on a sugya in Zvachim, that there is a posel that refers to machsheves mokim also as pigul. So it doesn't have the halacha as a pigul. The halacha, in the end, is that it's only posel. But the pasuk in one place does call it pigul. So therefore, when we say avon pigul means machsheves mokim. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi says the second explanation is that it means pigul, regular pigul. But Rashi explains that that explanation doesn't work. Doesn't work for a number of reasons. Because then we're going to go on with avon noiser. And noiser can't mean, in other words, literally, that the next thing is noiser. Noiser can't literally mean meat that was left over of the korban, because there's nothing to be talking about being meratz of the korban at that point. The korban was already brought. The fact that the meat of it was left over beyond the zman is not a reason to passel the korban. Once the blood, so therefore noiser therefore has to be what we usually mean as pigul, and pigul therefore has to mean machsheves mokim. So im avoin pigul, if it means the oven of pigul, meaning machsheves mokim, can't hare kvar nema lo yeratza. The pasuk clearly says that such a korban will not be acceptable. Im avoy noiser, do we mean the avera of noiser, meaning, in other words, what we usually think of as pigul, the fact that you had a thought to make it noiser, that you're going to eat it chutz l'zmanai? No, hare kvar nema lo yechoshev. The pasuk says such a thing will not be thought as an acceptable korban. Even with the tzitz. So the tzitz can't help with machsheves zman or machsheves mokim. Can't. Right. Ha enem noise ela avon tumah. So therefore, you must say by elimination that what is the tzitz taken care of is where there's tuma, and we can say the reason why we can say that, and the reason why we can say that it takes care of tuma, because after all, tuma anyway, there's an exception. Shohutra miklala b'tzibur. We have when there's a korban tzibur, and the people or the koyanim or whatever are tuma, you still bring the korban anyway, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta about the korban Pesach. So therefore, we see that there's an exception to the usual rules of tuma that you're able to bring korbanos for tuma, but on the other hand, there's no exception to the rule of machsheves zman. So therefore, we can more logically say that the tzitz is not taking care of those, but it's taking care of the it's taking care of truma. In fact, Tosfos says that once we eliminated everything else, why do we even need to mention the fact that truma is hutra b'klala? Just the fact that it's the only thing left after pigul and noiser should be enough. So Tosfos says because after all, the pasuk seems to be implying that you need to have at least the thing needs to have a heter in some other context. The fact the pasuk finishes l'rotzen l'am l'fnashem implies this is something which in another context there would completely be a rotzen for. You'd be allowed to do it with no problem. Only in this case you shouldn't have done it, because in this case you shouldn't have done it. But nevertheless, it sits as menatzah, and that would be the case of tuma. That choice was ha'in and noisy. Of omer rabbeinu tam, mishum b'krom mashma d'lo menatzah ela davar sheyesh leheter b'shum mokum. Only something that you have in some other context as a heter. D'chtibuk sefer d'kra l'rotzin lahem. Now you do have the Tosfos goes on to say that you do have. You do have exceptions to pigul and noser also, namely by, for example, minchas koyanim. A mincha of koyanim is completely burnt on a mizbeach, so there's no pigul is not relevant to it, because pigul only applies to something where eventually there's going to be something you matir. Exactly here, the whole thing is a matir. Same thing, minchas nesachim. An oila, you have the sprinkling of the blood is matir. The blood is matir, the meat of the oila, to be burnt on a mizbeach. So you have a matir. But here, the whole Minchas Koyim itself is burnt as one big unit on the Mizbeach. It has no matter. Right. So the point is, all these three things have a Hutra Miklolon in some other context. Therefore, we need to exclude Pigul and Noiser by the words Lo Yerotza and Lo Yechoshev. And therefore, the only one left is Truma, where again, there is an exception where Korbanos can be brought with Truma, and therefore, that's what the Tzitz is Meratza for. So, my love, Trumas Dam. So we're saying tuma. L'chorda, we mean even the tuma of blood, because after all, again, if it was the meat that became tuma, what's the big deal? Why necessarily, especially according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that even if in ein dam, you in ein bossi, you can still sprinkle the blood. So why would you need the tzitz to be miratza? You have to l'chorda be talking about the blood itself became tuma, and nevertheless, you're allowed to sprinkle on the mizbeach because of the tzitz. The answer is Amar Papa Loi Tumas Kmatzim. Not necessarily. We could be talking about the tuma. You have the blood is matir a korban in the same way the koymitz of a mincha is matir the mincha. Now the koymitz of a mincha for sure can become tomei. There's no reason to say that not. It is food after all, and food definitely can become tomei daraisa. So we're saying even if the koymitz becomes tomei. Then the tzitz allows that if you brought, you're not supposed to bring it on the mizbeach, but if you did, then b'diavad the tzitz takes care of it and makes the korban acceptable. So we could have also said again that the tumah we're talking about is the tumah of the meat or of the chaylev, and we're saying even according to the Yeshua, the tzitz makes it possible to sprinkle this blood, because again, like we said, it allows us to pretend as though the meat didn't become tummy. The Gemara would rather find something, Rashi says the Gemara would rather find something that everybody agrees to. In the case of the meat, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, but in the case of the koymitz and the rest of the mincha, everybody's going to agree that the koymitz can become tamei, and you shouldn't bring it on the mizbeach, but if you did, then the tzitz takes care of it. So therefore, there's no proof from that braisa that we're talking anything about tumas dam. So we can still say that Rav is saying that blood can't become tamei. So the Gemara tries another proof. Toshma. Now here we have the pasuk in Haggai that we were mentioning briefly the other day. The pasuk tells us that the Navi Haggai tells the Eibishter tells him right after they started. Now what happened? We know they started building the second Mishmash. Kodesh gave them permission. Then the local Goyim and Kusim and whatever mastered on them, and they ended up having to stop the rebuilding, and it stayed unfinished for 18 years, and then the Nevi'im told them to continue building, and shortly afterwards they got permission from Daryavesh to continue, and they're working on it. So the Pasuk says, the Eibishter tells Haggai, a Navi, go and ask the Kohenim Torah. Meaning, in other words, it's after 70 years of Golos, you haven't been dealing with Kodshim, we need to make sure the Kohanim still know what they're doing. So he asks them. So he asks them a question like this. So we're going to analyze in detail. The Gemara is going to analyze in detail the question of Chagai and the answer of the Kohanim on the next Amud, and we'll learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But here, at least, we'll start with it as it's relevant to our question of whether the Dan can become Tomei or not. So the pasuk says Chagai asks them, "Hein yisto ish b'sav kodesh b'knaf digdoi." Suppose that a person holds in the corner of his garment, holds meat of kodesh. Now, kodesh over here doesn't mean meat of a, means a dead sheretz. The word kodesh sometimes means tumah. Rashi brings, for example, you have a pasuk like kedesh oya ba'aretz, which means there was a tumah of avodah zarah and znus and whatever in the land. So we see the word kodesh or kedesh can mean something tumah. It's sort of like an opposite, right? Like in fact, by the way, you also have, for example, by Kalaya Kedem, Ted Tikdash Hamalaya, when you have the grain and the grapes are going to become Osabana. Then here, fine, a sheretz is not Osabana, but the point is the word Kodesh can mean Tomei. I think there are Mepharshim on the Psukim who explain that basically the word Kodesh means something separated. Kodesh means muvdal, so it can mean separated for good, as in Kedusha, or it can mean separated as in Tuma and off limits. Anyway. So he's saying, "Hein yisto ish b'sav kodesh b'chnaf digdoi." Suppose a person is holding a dead sheretz in the corner of his garment. The noga b'chnafoi, then with the corner of his garment, or as the Gemara is going to discuss later, doesn't mean the garment itself, or doesn't mean with the actual sheretz. That's part of the discussion later on. He touches el alechem to bread, the el anozid, and then that bread in turn touches stew, the el ayayin, and that touches wine, the el shemen, and that touches oil. The elkol machol, or the wine touches any other food, hayikdash, will that food become tamei? That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos learns the scenario a little differently, that it means that the konaf touches the bread or the nazid, and the bread or the nazid touches the yayin or the shemen, whatever. That's different ways of understanding the exact scenario in the pasuk. Anyway, vayanu akoinim, the pasuk says the koinim answered by yemru, loy. They said no, lo yichdash, whatever. The pasuk doesn't say the word yichdash. They said no, it won't become tamei. Amar Rav ishtabish kani. Rav says further on in the sugya, the Kohanim made a mistake. They mistakenly thought. The case that Chagai is talking about, let's figure out over here, again, according to Rashi, you're talking about that the sheretz itself touched the bread, so it made it a rishin. The bread touched the stew, made it a shady. The stew touched the wine, made it a shlishi. The wine touched the oil, made it a revi. And they're saying the oil is not tamei. So they're saying a revi bakodesh is not tamei. That's the point. It should be tamei or posel. And they're saying that no, lo yitma, it's not a problem. Rav is saying the Kohanim made a mistake. So you see that wine and oil, even though they're mashke basement bachaya, they're liquids that are used in the basement. We see they're still able to be mekabel tumah. So now, according to Rav, the Rabbanon didn't make a gzeira on it either. Even if you want to say that Daraisa liquids can't become Tomei, and only the Rabbanon you can, and you can say, fine, by the time Chagai is giving the Kohanim this test, maybe we can say that Chachamim already made that gzeira. Chagai was one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolos, so they made a lot of gzeiras. Fine, but the fact is Rav is saying that there's no Tumah of Mashkim Beis Min Bechaya, not Daraisa, not the Rabbanon. So how did the Kohanim fail the test? He's a member of Anshei Knesset HaGdolos. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah.
But too early.
Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily. I mean, Anshei Knesset HaGdolos existed before the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt. So they existed maybe even at the end of Golos Bavel already. So no. The point is that Rashi says if you're talking Tumah D'oraisa, Rav is saying that these Mashkim Beis Hamikdash don't have Tumah D'oraisa. Even you're talking to Rabbanon. And you're going to say the Gzeira was already made. Rav is telling us there's no Gzeira to that bonnet because that's the whole point, that Yosef Ben Yezer is telling us that the Chachamim were not Gozer on it because they didn't want the Kodshim to become Tameh. So then, according to Rav, how did the Kohanim make a mistake and fail the test? The answer is, they should be right. The answer is, Midihu Taima Elul Rav. The whole question you're asking is on Rav. Rav Bashke Beis Mitbachaya, Tony. Because Rav says specifically, we have, now within what Yosef Ben Yezer says, besides that we were discussing before, what Dachon means, what he means when they're Tahar, whether it means that they themselves are Tahar, or whether it just means they can't be Matame, other things. In addition, what kind of liquids was he talking about? was he talking about, which we're going to discuss tomorrow also, is it mashke base mitbachaya, the liquids that are in the base hamitbachayim, in the place where they cut up and skin the animals of the korbanos, and in that case, that would be specifically blood and water. Blood and water. You don't have wine and oil in that area in the base of mitbachayim. There's no reason to have them there. As opposed to, so see, he says davka mashke base mitbachaya. The blood and the oil are the ones that are not tamei according to him. But av a mashke base mitbachaya. But you have the mashkim that are on the mizbeach. Mitbachaya and mitbachaya sound almost the same. So again, there were two different gerusas. What Yosi ben Ezer said, was he talking about mashke base mitbachaya, which would be water and blood, or is he talking about mashke base mitbachaya, liquids that are placed on the mizbeach, which then would include. Yeah, the dalet is like a zayin, mitbachaya like mizbeach, which would be wine and oil. So therefore, Rav will say that actually, no, those are mekabel tuma, at least on a daraisa level, if nothing else than a darabanan level. So therefore, Chagai is asking them, he's not asking them about water and blood, he's asking them about wine and oil. So when they said that the oil is not tomei, they were wrong, because mashke based mitbachaya, the liquids that are poured on the mizbeach, including wine and oil, can become tomei at least darabanan. And therefore, he's telling them, you failed the test because you said it's tahor, and really it's a reviv akodesh. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with a closer analysis of this whole story with Chagai and the Kohenim, and we'll have a machlokas whether they pass the test or not. So imagine you take a test in yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva themselves are arguing whether you passed the test or you failed the test. That's what we're going to have over here. It is. It is on the side over here. Hein Yisro Yishv Zal Kodesh B'Knaf Bigda, yeah. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.